This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Hashimi al-Qurashi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, all his companions, may Allah bless them and may He bless every single one of us. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Ramadan is fast approaching. This is the last Friday before the month of Ramadan. We have been speaking about this beautiful month and how to welcome this month in a way that we can maximize the benefit from this beautiful month of Ramadan. Remember, the numbers of the months of Ramadan that we will be allowed to witness is fixed in our lives. So some of us may be 30, 40, 50, 60, depending on the age that Allah allows us to get to. And every time a Ramadan comes, you can strike it off, it's one less. Every time a Ramadan comes, you can strike it off, it's one less. It may be the last one, and it may be such that we may not see the end of it. It's happening, and it has happened. And it has happened to people healthier than myself and yourselves. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us. This afternoon I want to go through one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he speaks about iman from a different angle altogether. Iman meaning the belief, the faith, the conviction we have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a hadith narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, found in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes it quite clear by saying, المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف. He says, a strong mu'min is far better and more loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than he who is weak. What does this mean? Two things come to mind. One is physical strength, where you have a person more powerful, you know, muscular and so on, healthier. That's one thing that comes to mind. And the other thing that comes to mind is a person whose conviction in Allah is far greater. A person whose belief in Allah is solid. A person who is convinced as to the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the biggest possible way. So the second meaning is what is meant in this particular hadith primarily. That a person who lays his trust in Allah, he knows his limits, he understands faith, he understands what is required of him, and he knows Allah is going to test him, and he is hoping that the tests are made easy, but he is waiting for the tests one after the other, knowing that as life progresses, I will have to go through challenges in life. And these challenges will be made easy if we have conviction and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why we say this, Allah says in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, even if we stop there, it's just the beginning of a long verse in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah says, we will indeed, most definitely, be testing every single one of you. That's the beginning of the verse. The rest of the verse, He says what type of tests. You'll have problems, issues, financial issues, loss of life, loss of produce, you know, perhaps health. And so many different things are made mention of in various places in the Quran and in the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Allah promises He's going to test you, the only person who can pass the test properly is he who is waiting for them, understands their nature, and knows that it's part of life. Nobody, not a single person, can actually sit back and say, in my life I'm never going to have problems. As soon as you think that, you will start sneezing. When you sneeze, you realize that I'm so weak, my immune system is starting to fail. So never ever think you're not going to be tested. If you understand this, you get to a new level. What is the level? Start thanking Allah regarding the tests that He has placed in your life, knowing that it could have been far worse. So you thank Allah. Imagine someone suffers an accident. May Allah protect us. And then there comes a stage when you say, Ya Allah, I thank you. Things could have been much worse. They could have been this and that. A person loses a limb and you thank Allah, Ya Allah, I haven't lost more than one limb. That is a new level. That is the strength of iman. Such a person is more loved by Allah because he understands the plan of Allah. How can Allah love you? He loves you when you understand His plan and you're working towards His pleasure. He loves you more and more. So this hadith makes it very clear, al-mu'min al-qawi, the mu'min whose iman is solid, his conviction in Allah is proper, he knows the tests, he understands the challenges, there will be things in his life that will be dangling in front of him. Because they are prohibited, he will stay away from them. And there will be things that occur in his life that are such a big challenge that as much as he wanted something, listen very carefully because the rest of the hadith is going to be connected to this. As much as he so desperately wanted something for himself, Allah did not want it for him. Amazing. Sometimes we all want good health, we want profit in business, we want a happy family, we want so many things in life. If Allah doesn't want it for me or you, there is nobody who can give it to me or to you. So if we become depressed because we could not achieve something that we worked tirelessly to try and achieve, then we have not understood Allah's plan. Because Allah says, you fulfill your role, we will decide whether we want to give it to you or not. Amazing. And this is why, if we take a look at this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, this mu'min who is stronger is far better and more loved by Allah. Far better in what sense? In every sense. He leads a happier life. He's got a healthier life. He's less depressed than others. He would not be depressed. He would understand this is the system of Allah. Ultimately, the life of this dunya is full of obstacles. It's really like a triathlon, or maybe a triathlon might be the wrong word, but it is a challenge. You need to go through the race or go through the various obstacles in a way that you come out of it a champion. It's not going to be easy. Ask those who run a race, for example, the marathon. 77 kilometers, 90 kilometers, they struggle. They prepare for a long time, and during the race, they are suffering. They really feel we're lacking water, we need energy drink, we need help, we need this, we need that. But they're so excited because they did better than the previous time. It's not all about winning sometimes, it's about doing better than before. But in life, we only have one chance. That's a chance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a powerful way that Allah has given us such guidance that alhamdulillah, we improve as time passes. And this is why, good news to you if you're feeling like a better person today than you were yesterday. Even if it was 1 inch that you've moved forward, good news to you, your score is far better. And if you are aiming tomorrow to be achieving that which is far greater than today in terms of your link with Allah, good news to you, work towards it, strive and struggle hard so that you can achieve it. This is life. And this is why a person who continues doing small deeds, little deeds, small deeds, but regularly, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that person and those deeds are more loved by Allah than one who works so hard one night and after that he forgets Allah. You know, when we are feeling a little bit pious sometimes, and we have maybe a little obstacle in our lives, we sit with the Quran, we sit with Salah, we take our time, we spend the whole night in Ibadah. Soon as our problem is over, we tend to forget that just yesterday we were busy crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, the better person and the better deeds are those that are done regularly, even if they are a little. Look at the Prophet Yunus, may peace be upon him. When he called out to Allah from the belly of the whale in the darkness of the depth of the ocean, it is reported that his voice was recognized by the angels, because every day at that time he used to call out to Allah anyway through dhikr and tasbih. So Allah says, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبَعَثُونَ. Had he not been from amongst those who regularly declared our praise, perhaps he would have remained in the belly of the whale until Allah had willed, until the end of time. So this is Allah saying, if you do a deed that is regular and you have continuity with it, it's far better than just dashing in. You know, month of Ramadan, we are pious, everything is okay. Straight after Ramadan, we're back in the clubs, we're back, for example, with our gambling, with our alcohol, with our bad habits. If that's the case, we need much improvement by the will of Allah. Let it be a Ramadan with a difference. And this is why the hadith says, such a person is better than one who is weak. Weak in iman. Any small thing happens, we become depressed. You know, in life we will suffer in so many different ways. Health will begin to fail. Even if you are the healthiest, strongest person, there comes a time in your life when your bones begin to ache. It's the plan of Allah. You cannot become depressed. There comes a time in life when you find you are now, for example, on a regular basis in need of a jab. It can happen. And someone might tell you this is going to be for the rest of your life. It's a test. If you take it with a smile and you thank Allah that still such medication is available, you'll lead a much happier life. The quality of your life will improve so much that you are smiling, yet others who have a lesser problem, a smaller difficulty, are far more depressed and they don't even know which way to head. And this is why this hadith makes it extremely clear. Now let's take the physical aspect of it, very important. Do you know that from this hadith, because of the power of the wording of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we also learn that a person who is physically fit is far more loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than he or she who intentionally drains their body down to the degree that they are physically very unfit. Something interesting. So for myself and yourself to take interest in the type of food you eat, the exercise on a daily basis, the fact that my body is in order, my mind shall then inshallah be in order, my spirituality will be in order. This hadith says that Allah loves you more if you take care of these things, because naturally you are a cleaner mind, you are a more more spiritual person, because your concentration is on something that it is supposed to be upon and not on something that it's not supposed to be upon. For example, a person who's definitely not interested in their health, they eat as they please, they've never exercised, and they cannot even read salah properly. Or when they are in salah, for example, their mind is elsewhere because it's not healthy. And it begins to wander this way or that way. So this hadith is so powerful, we've covered both aspects. Strength of iman, of a mu'min, and strength of a mu'min physically as well. I hope and pray we are coming through this month of Ramadan, we become conscious of our food. Let's remember something, and I'm going to say it loud and clear. The issue of savouries in Ramadan, it's not a sunnah to start with. It's not haram. But remember, it's very unhealthy to break your fast with fried savouries. Extremely unhealthy. Let alone far from the sunnah. We need to open the fast with dates, with fiber, perhaps with a bit of yogurt, a little bit of brown bread and so on. Follow the sunnah. See how healthy you feel. Your fries and your savouries can come later on perhaps. Remember one thing. Do not let your bad eating habits make you a person who becomes lazy to fulfill taraweeh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Something we can definitely take heed. And inshallah, if we look at the sunnah of the food and what type of food we are supposed to be eating, it will definitely help us. It will enhance our health. We feel so good. And alhamdulillah, we will be proud of being part of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a great ummah that has been taught every aspect of its existence, how to develop it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. So, moving on through the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَفِي كُلِّنْ خَيْرٍ. There is goodness in both, which means we are not denying the fact that someone who's physically weak might be able to benefit themselves or others as well. There may be benefit, but there is greater benefit in he who is strong, in he or she whose iman is solid. We can encourage others. We are a beacon of light. People see you, they smile, they forget their problems because they know this person is so positive. They have this something that surrounds them that makes us feel so good when we are in their company. If this is how we are, good news. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make more of us like this. Instead of being a person, the minute someone sees you, they feel depressed. The minute they look at you, they start thinking of 10, 20 problems they don't even have, and so on. And when we open our mouths, we talk to them as though the world is coming to an end and everybody is doomed. If that's the case, we are at loss and so are those around us. May Allah protect us. Then the hadith says, إِحْرِصْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكْ. Work hard to achieve what is beneficial to you. Work very hard. This means without hard work, you won't be able to achieve things. You want to clean your heart, you need to work very hard to eradicate the bad qualities of the heart. Every time you see someone, ask yourself, If I have ill feeling against this brother or sister of mine, why is it the case? Let me fight myself to eradicate those bad feelings. You can do it. We are part of a family, my brothers and sisters. We must never forget that. Shaytan makes us forget it temporarily. So we look at someone and we have an ill feeling. That ill feeling is more harmful to us than it is against the others. Just yesterday I said something that was powerful and I'd like to repeat it. To hold a grudge in your heart against someone else is similar to drinking poison and expecting the next man to drop. This is what it is. To hold a grudge in your heart is similar to drinking poison yourself and you expecting it to affect the other man or the other woman negatively. So don't hold a grudge. The moral of it is the harm is greater to you and your health to hold things in your heart. Let go of it. Take it out. Release it. Be a happy person. Smile. Carry on. That's life. Life is too short to be holding these things. So the hadith says, work hard to achieve that which will benefit you. In the process, there will be certain obstacles. Those obstacles, we need to understand them, recognize them, and look at the best way of handling them. Not every time is it going to be beneficial to us in terms of our health, our spirituality, perhaps our families, perhaps our communities, to react in a typical way when a problem faces us. Sometimes we need to sit down and think very deep and so on, and thereafter we'll come up with something that will bring a smile to our faces. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a smile even in our hearts. So my brothers and sisters, the hadith says, work hard to achieve what you believe is beneficial to you, whether it is your salary, a business deal, your health, your family. We need to work hard. We work so hard. Over and above that, the spirituality is obviously something we need to work hard towards developing. It's not just going to come like that. We need to make an effort to come to the masjid, an effort to fulfill the fast properly, an effort to read the taraweeh correctly, an effort to accommodate and tolerate and so on, an effort not to be an obstacle in the lives of others. Today, it's important for us to become tolerant. Tolerant of people perhaps who might hold a slightly different view regarding this or regarding that. Some minor items. When we become tolerant and we become people who understand the limits of Allah, those are the only limits that would govern exactly what we, you know, would consider a parameter. In that particular case, we will lead a much more beautiful life. And this is Islam. This is what the peace is all about. This is what Islam stands for. This is how we will achieve peace. Work hard to achieve what you want. And then the hadith says, "Ista'in billahi wa la ta'jaz." Always seek the help of Allah. When you want to achieve things, start off in the name of Allah. Don't think yourself as some big person who does not need the help of Allah to achieve things. Like I said, the minute we think I'm the healthiest person and I've kept myself and you know I have done this and I have done that and we take Allah out of the equation, we start sneezing. And sneezing is just a sign that Allah is showing you, hang on, your health is in our hands. Yes, we may have made it easy for you to look after yourself, but don't become too haughty to think that it's just you, it's also us. In fact, it is only us. Allahu Akbar. We've just made it easy for you to do things. May Allah protect us all and grant us good health. And may He grant us good sustenance, happy homes, and inshallah, happy community. So the hadith then acknowledges the fact that sometimes people might start losing hope. You're working so hard to achieve something, a business deal, a position, or for example, some goodness, solution to some problem. You're working so hard, it's just not coming. So that's why the hadith continues to say, "Wala ta'jaz." Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. No matter what, do not give up hope. Do not give up. Continue working towards that direction of goodness, no matter what. Do not let the negativity of others make you a negative person. You are positive, continue with that positivity. It will help you. It will wake other people up through the process as well. Slowly but surely, you will affect the lives of so many people and you won't even know it. Sometimes you might only find out in the Akhirah. And yet if you were to blow out your own candle because now you're worried that this candle is lit for so long and nobody's really benefiting from it, what would happen? You would not see the path anymore. Your life would be in darkness and so would the lives of so many other people be in the same. So the hadith says, try your best, do not give up. When you want to achieve something good, work hard. realize that sometimes you might not achieve what you want. Ultimately, you may die not having achieved what you want. So the last part of the hadith, beautifully worded, the Prophet ﷺ says, وَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٍ. When something negative affects you and harms you, when something negative comes in your direction, what should you do? It's part of my iman, I need to know how to react. قُلْ, you need to say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. This is the decree of Allah, and whatever Allah has willed has happened. I tried my best, I did whatever I could in my capacity that Allah has given me. I've been continuing to try, and yet I have, for example, not achieved this, or something bad has come in my path. I need to say, this is the decree of Allah, whatever He has intended, whatever He wished, and whatever He willed has ultimately happened. That is a sign of the strength of iman. And the last portion of the hadith is, I would say, the most powerful lesson for all of us. It says, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَحُ بَابَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Never ever use the word, if this had happened, then that would not have happened. After something has happened, because that opens the door of shaitan. What a powerful narration. So when something evil has come in your direction, you've tried your best, and you were moving in a specific way, and then calamity struck, disaster struck, some negativity struck, you need to turn to Allah and say, Ya Allah, that was your decree, it was the taqdeer, I surrender to it, I've learned lesson from it, this has happened and that has happened, but I'm never going to say, if this didn't happen this way, then that would have happened that way, and if this and if that. Don't say if. That's what the hadith says. Because if opens the door of the devil, it does not close. You blame this one, you blame that one, you become depressed once again, going back right to the beginning of the circle. What's the point? So this is why, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. I end with an example. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, son Ibrahim, may Allah bless them all and bless us as well. Young infant passed away in the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and everybody knew that the man in whose house he was being fostered was a blacksmith who used to blow into the smoke or into the ore, and a lot of smoke used to be billowing from the home and so on. Nobody ever blamed that man to say, if this man had not been a blacksmith, this child would not have passed away. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not entertain that discussion, nor did any one of the Sahaba, because the young infant passed away. It was the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lots of lessons for us to be learned. May Allah bless us. Beautiful month of Ramadan ahead of us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us goodness. Inshallah, after this salah, I will be making one or two announcements, and I hope we could listen to them attentively. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.